for being here. This started a long time ago, and so what I'll do is we're going to take some time. How many of you know sometime you got to take some time? You got to take some time to listen. You got to take some time to hear from the Lord whatever he wants for us. And how many believe that koinonia was a gift from God? Amen. You got to tell me because you got to witness it. I can witness it for myself, but you got to witness it for yourself. Koinonia is valuable to the body of Christ. Valuable. And so we're going to take some time tonight and just reflect.
There's some things we want to share with you. And I just hope that you're open-minded to the things of God. I mean, you know, sometimes we can get closed-minded to the things of God. You know how? Because we want it the way we want it. We already preset how it's going to be or how we think it should be. And sometimes we even say bye to the very words of God that he speaks to us. We just miss it because it don't fit what's happening. So tonight I am going to take some time more so. Go ahead and I'm going to switch over to this, Brother Chad. More so than I probably ever done before. And there's a reason for it, and I hope that everybody would be patient. Amen. And just bear with what needs to be said. That's all right. So when this started, when koinonia started, it was for a reason, and I'm not even sure we knew the full reason. Amen. But we knew he said to. We knew what he said to do. And because you don't know the full reason about anything that God calls you to do doesn't mean you don't pursue it.
That's right.
Because if you got to know, then what do we think? Maybe we can change it or do it different than what he said? After all, we're in the business to do what? Follow. Listen. Mm-hmm. We're in the business to listen to what he says. And we have to be careful that we're doing that. That we're really listening to what he says. So we have a responsibility, just us. We have a responsibility. And you weep over this stuff. Because you want to make sure that whatever you do is what God wants.
Amen.
Not something you do because you had a bad day. Or you thought it was going to go one way and it didn't, so you change it. And somehow we can work it. We get so good, we can kind of work it in there and squeeze it in there. And then we start making statements that, yeah, I believe this is what God wants. You know, when you say that, you're not even convinced. You want to be, but you're not. What about we do nothing unless he says? Nothing. And I'm not sure we've gotten everything that we're supposed to get out of this mission. Because my responsibility is I got to constantly ask God, what do we do? What do we do about this? What do we do about this next time? What is it overall, when you look at it overall, what did it teach me? What did I learn? Was I in it for the learning or to be taught? Was I in it just for the ride? How many believe these things are important?
Amen.
Now, they don't have to be important to me. But how important is this to God? If this is what we called at the beginning, this is a God thing. This is what God's leading us to. In that book of Acts, the first chapter, there's a major event about to happen. It's major. It's not minor. It's major. Their master, our master, he's about to ascend. But before he does, He gathers the people together. And he starts to tell them what they need to be prepared for. He said, you got to be ready and be prepared. You got to make sure that you do what I tell you to do. So he gives this instructions. He gives instructions on what's going to happen next in their life. You think it was important for the body of believers, the family of faith that was sitting there that day to listen to the master? You think that was important?
Yeah.
What if we'd have been in that setting? What would have been our posture? Would we have been at the edge of our seats, listening intently what the master's about to say? He's about to go, and we're here. He's going to tell us something. I'm sure of it. I'm sure he's going to let us know something that's important for our life. And I know most of you here in the ministry, I thought about today. I thought about it over and over and over and over. I thought about it last night. I got up early this morning. I thought about it. I thought about it all day today. And the whole time you're thinking about it, you still got to fish. You still got to get together with the brethren and sisters. But you're still thinking about it. So I come here tonight, and my heart is heavy. Because I want you to know that when God asked us to do this, when this thing was born, we didn't look back. We didn't care what it cost. We didn't even ask about that. It doesn't matter. Remember, God takes care of everything he authorizes. Why ask? There's no reason to. Why fear it? You don't have to. It's not yours. God authorized it. He took care of it. He's always taking care of it. Now, there's some times we had to make adjustments. But sometimes adjusting, we think changes the vision, and it doesn't. Because we like it just to go just like it's supposed to go all the time. But we got this setting. I want you to think about this. We got this setting. The master's there, and there they are. And he says to them, he says, I want you to get ready because you're going to go to Jerusalem and you're going to be endued with power from on high. So what's the one thing he's telling them right off the bat they need to have in order to make it?
Power.
Dunamis. You're going to need it.
Amen.
Who's the speaker?
Jesus.
The master. Sometimes you need to say that because I don't think we get what that means. Sometimes I think we think he's our buddy or something.
Come on now.
The master said, every one of you here listening to me, you're going to need power.
Amen.
You're going to need this power, and it's not just any power, it's explosive power. You're going to need it. And it's going to be from on high. He talked about it in John a little different because he said, you're going to have somebody, another comforter. Described as comforter. Somebody says, I come here to comfort you. You anticipated that they were in some distress. Some type of distress. If it hadn't, they're not in it, they're going to get in it. He knew they were going to be in distress. Knew it. It was coming. But you'll be okay. Because what I'm talking about, this is a set apart spirit. Different from anything that you've ever seen before, it's Holy Spirit set apart for this reason. It's very cause, and you'll need it. He said, you'll go and you'll wait patiently. And what'd they do? What'd they do? All together, every one of them, what'd they do? They waited. They got together and they waited patiently. And then it says in Acts 2, they were of one mind, one accord, it says in some translations, one mind. They were together. They figured out, we better listen to the master because we got to know how to be in unity if we're going to get this power. We got to understand. And what the master's trying to woo them to is koinonia. He's trying to get them because koinonia is the foundation of everything you're going to need to in ministry for it to just be explosive. And it is powered by Holy Spirit, a set apart spirit. For that very reason, I want you to get this. Outside of koinonia, it'll be what you make it to be. You remember in Genesis? The Tower of Babel? They had a unity, but they were evil. But their unity was so powerful that whatever they imagined to do, they would do it because they had one speech. They all spoke the same language. Every one of them were agreed, and there was nothing that would stop them. So God come down and caused disunity. How many times you've blamed the world or people for the disunity in your church? You ever thought maybe that was God causing disunity because the aim is not what he wants you to do? You know, if you say amen, amen, it goes down a little easier. Disunity. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you can have unity and live evil, just how much power we're leaving on the table when it comes to koinonia. Just how much, if we get dunamis, set apart spirit, operate in our life, just how much we're leaving on the table when we're out there doing it the way we want. Let me explain it to you how I know this is possibly what we're suffering from. They were going to build their city the way they wanted it. Sort of sounds like in the ministry, my church. I thought we were all working for him. That's what I thought. So until we do, disunity. But he sends koinonia in our life to show us what can really happen if you all pull together. And he uses a little fishing trip for bait. We know about baiting. And you've been baited. You've been baited to this night. And you took the bait. Every one of you took the bait. And so it's amazing we can still chuckle. We can still smile. But people who have a heart for koinonia love truth.
Amen.
How many love truth?
Amen.
All love truth.
Amen.
Not some. They love truth. And the truth is, we failed when it comes to koinonia. Now, this is not just for you guys that's been invited, and this is not pastor, finally, after 18 years, I'm going to take a break and we're going to beat up on some folks. I've been doing this for a long time. And let me tell you, I've had some encounters with God that I still wonder how in the world that's ever happened. But I know as sure as I'm standing here tonight that what I'm telling you tonight, I would rather just let's go home, let's hug, and we'll fish again tomorrow and see you. It's over. I'd much rather that. But I can't do that.
Amen.
I can't do it.
Amen.
Because the Lord says, we've failed when it comes to Koinonia, because this was supposed to be implemented. Yet we're still in disunity. He said, well, we're not in disunity. I know some of these brothers, you know, I visit them and all that stuff. And yep, it's disunity. Let's not kid ourselves. We've been lying to each other. It's disunity. You don't mind saying hi. You don't mind going fishing with somebody, but set the Bible on the table, disunity. Mm. All you got to do is take this out, and it's disunity. Because we don't know how to koinonia. Because koinonia is the bedrock of unity, and it only produces the right love. That's it. It's just love, love, love. That's what it does. You get overwhelmed with love, and when you've been overwhelmed with love, it crashes down on you again, love. And so we're struggling in our churches because we don't know how to do koinonia. When everybody's in koinonia, the project is everybody's.
Wow. That's good.
It's everybody's. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven when the day of Pentecost came. That's Shavuot. How many know when the first time that happened in the Bible? When the mountains were set on fire and God gave what? He gave Torah. He gave his word. Did he change that word? He's never changed that word. But we're afraid of it. Why? Why are we afraid of the truth? Because we can't explain it? See, about right now is where you swallow. Listen, you never have to fear truth, because whether... no matter what happens in life, when you're gone, I'm going, it's still truth.
Amen.
Nothing changes truth.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. Not my ideas, your ideas, nobody's idea changes the truth.
Amen.
It is what it is.
Amen.
But the easiest thing to avoid controversy is for God's leaders is to avoid truth. Let's just stay right here. This is our lane. It's what we know. It's what we taught. And we ain't going outside this lane. We set parameters, and that's it. You do that, you'll never, ever do koinonia. Because you can do good in your own group, but outside that setting, you're like a floundering around. You don't know where to fit. It's like me up here right now. You might be squeezing real tight saying, what else is he going to say? And, oh, I hope he don't go there, man, because I don't know about that. And, yeah, but we could get on the same boat. We can sit at the same table. See, we're not ready. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about koinonia? What are we doing? Are we wasting your time? You have mandated us. What about it? What are we going to do? When are we going to get a passion where we feel it so deep inside that your needs, it's my responsibility, koinonia. When your ship wrecks, it's my shipwreck. When your church hurts, it's my church hurts. When are we going to get there? You know what separates us? It's not the world. It's this. This separates us because we're afraid of the truth. But people who are love koinonia, they love truth.
Amen.
They're not afraid of it. You know what? Because if truth comes and you got to make an adjustment,
amen,
don't we want to?
Amen.
Or who are we to say to God, Lord, you just don't know. Now, look, God, we got to have a talk here. Really? You got to have a talk with God? Think about it. We're missing this thing. And we've had a lot of fun while we missed it. You don't think he loves us? That we can have so much fun and miss something, it just blows my mind. And listen, this is just the guy speaking. But I'm the guy listening. I'm the guy that stayed up for a couple nights and listened. God, are you serious? Yeah, you missed it. Because what this thing does is what I intended it for it to do. And it's got to be a set-apart spirit that brings it to pass. It can't be brought to pass any other way. It has to happen that way. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then something will happen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together. How many of them received the baptism? All. How is it? Yeah, I don't know what's going on, brother. You know, some in the church, they're in and some is not. You'd have no koinonia. That's the reason. That's why you spend most of your time babysitting people. Get them in koinonia, you babysit no more. Because they're going to have the same love that you spent all these years digging in the Word of God. They're going to have it. And yet, isn't it amazing how God sets up koinonia for pastors? And he gives you a bunch of fun while you're doing it to come and learn something. And what have we learned? When's the last time you taught on koinonia in your church? Where you opened up and you looked at it and said, you know, this disunity we have, just maybe, it's not them. Because Lord knows when they're going, our church will get better. Maybe, just maybe, it's the Most High saying, if I keep letting them do what they're doing, they're going to be an edifice to themselves. And how many has done that? Churches become empires to individuals.
Yeah.
In a certain group, a core circle. And then what we do, you get out of Bible college and you're wanting to duplicate that same tragedy. Yet here I am on a peninsula. And all I know is I got to get my face in the ground. And I got to say, God, it's your spirit that we need more than anything. We're trying to be somebody. He said, just do koinonia. Who cares who's got the show? Who cares what boat I'm on? Who cares where we sit? Nobody cares about all that stuff. What we want to do is just love, love, love.
Amen.
This is how they'll know you're mine. Because the love you have for each other.
Amen.
We don't mind loving each other now. We were hugging. It was great. Hey, brother, good to see you. Till this comes out. Well, you know, we know, you know, where, you know, Pastor Jesse, you know, he's starting to talk about the Torah and saying Yeshua and all these things. And you know, we just don't know. We hope he don't go too far. You don't think God knows? You don't think he hears? He hears everything. And you know what I'd rather do? Just hug you and love you and take you fishing. That's what I'd rather do. Yet God's got me standing up here because I can't get out of it. I can't get out of this. And the reason I can't get out of it, because when I tell you I love you, I mean it.
And sometimes the truth, it hurts us. But we're better for it if we can just receive it. One thing you got to admit, we could be wrong about a lot of stuff. We could be dead wrong. Check it out for yourself. Don't be afraid of it. Because this right here is what's going to change our life. It's what changed my life. When God gives me a word, I took it very serious. Let me tell you something. The master gave him a word and he said, go to Jerusalem. But then he went up. How many read the rest? He goes up. And the angels say, hey, don't stand here looking. You got a word from the Lord where you ought to be headed to. Jerusalem. Sometimes you get a word from God. You know what you got to do? Pursue the word.
Amen.
I'm afraid that what we're doing, now 18 years later, we're still looking up. You got to pursue this thing. We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun. We've ate a lot of food. But if you think this is just eating and drinking, you missed the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not just meat and drink,
Amen.
But it's righteousness.
Amen.
Where do I learn righteousness? You learn righteousness starting in Genesis. Nobody with a half a mind, if you had just a half a mind, would read half the book. That's absolute craziness to think we'd read half the book. I start in the front when I read a book because I want to find out what's going on. Do you understand that? You start in the front and you read that and then you go reference back and forth. And then when you get the New Testament comes out, well, that was it. And we got most of the church world. Let's talk about church world since we all representatives of it. Most of them unhitched from it. We don't need that no more. We're not underneath the old covenant. Well, no kidding. Being underneath it means you were judged by what it was. Now we have a new covenant. It's a better covenant. So we just throw the rest away, don't we? No, you don't throw it away. You got to go back and you got to look at it. We're right now in Teshuvah. Think about it. This is a time for Teshuvah. All of us. What are we recognizing? We're recognizing we got a time to reflect on our life. Do I need to get better? When do we do that? I know in ministry, a lot of times we're so busy trying to keep up with church and people. I mean, you're just busy. You got stuff going on. You're planning each service. You're trying to make it right for everybody. Sometimes we lose sight that we got to take some time so we're sharper, that the anointing's fresh, that we're ready to do what God wants us to do, and we got to spend some time in Teshuvah. We got to say, Lord, I got to recognize who I am, what's going on in my life. When's the last time that I cried out to you and recognized my situation? The Bible says if a man says he doesn't have sin, he's a liar. We trying to make ourselves better so we look good to everybody else. It doesn't matter how you look into them, because if you don't look good in God, the whole thing's a waste of time.
Amen.
I want to know what God thinks about me.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what moves God when you humble yourself. When you humble yourself and say, Lord, I realize that I've sinned against you. And I realize that the atonement is for me. And I thank you that your only son gave that right to me when he laid his life down for the whole world.
Amen.
And I want to let you know how much I appreciate that.
Amen.
We're so busy trying to keep up with the world that we never checked it out one time for ourselves. And if we do, we breeze through it. Oh, let's not go there. We don't want to go there. That'll stir up a whole mess. We'll lose half the church. And we ain't want to lose half the church because we lose half the money. If we lose half the money, we can't pay the mortgage. Oh, boy. So what'd they do? Things started changing. Peter, do you think Peter changed when he got a hold of Koinonia? You think his life changed when he got a hold of Koinonia and realized what it was? You know, Peter was more like a man's man kind of guy. Say first and think about it later kind of guy. But then he got empowered. He had a set apart spirit come and rest in his life, and it changed everything about him. He got up to speak, and 3,000 souls were added on that day. You think maybe they tapped into something that we've left from? He was getting them ready for Koinonia. He was getting them ready for unity like they had never seen. So they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine or his teachings. How many want to continue steadfast in the right teaching?
Amen.
What's the right teaching? Oh, it's what I teach. It's got to be. Because I've been doing it for so long. It's got to be. When's the last time you checked your teaching? You know what the man does when he's traveling in a boat and all of his electronics go out? He's got to do something about that. He's got to go back to the chart. I don't know where we are. You know, if the pastor's getting up saying, you know, church, I don't know where we are anymore. Well, if you don't know where we are, we don't know where we are either. You see how critical that is? You never want your captain to look at you and say, I don't know where we are. If your captain says, I don't know where we are, you're going to think, why am I in this boat? But listen, if your captain takes the chart out, you know what he does? He leaves the electronics alone, because we want everything fast. We want it instant. We want to get our messages. Hit that button. Bam, there's our message. It all goes out. I wonder if we can navigate the chart anymore. Can we go in Genesis and look at what it means when you read these things and how they apply to the church today? When he says, my Torah is good and righteous, what do we do with that? And how do we minister that word where it flows instead of unhitches, and we see you later and we never go back? And so what happens when you're Torahless? He says you're wicked. Because you're lawless. You don't have nothing, because without that, you don't even know if you... He said, how would I know I'd covet unless it told me you can't covet? How would I know that? So you got to love it. And if you don't love it, you're going to be in trouble. These are valuable lessons for us. You know what we did? We missed Koinonia. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Remember when Yeshua said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how he longed to put you in a position of covering where he could cover you, and he missed it. We don't want to miss God. Now, look, we've been in this thing for too long.
Amen.
I talk to the Lord all the time. I said, Lord, I've been in this thing a long time, and what are we doing? What have we accomplished? What's happening? Where's the unity? Why do we have so many different understandings of the same verse? Do they have that many understandings? Is that many interpretations? Is that what we're believing? Because the way we live, we sell that to the world. And the world says, well, they don't even know how to look at it. Why would I get into that? Because there's disunity. And you got to have that love, that koinonia. The same love. He says the same love. He said everything that the Father has, I have. How many of you like that? And he said everything I have, I'm a gift to you by the set apart spirit. And you'll have it. So it's not that we have not been given the tools. We have the tools. The tools are ours. They belong to every person that's here. They're your tools to use. It's not just for the ministry people. This is for lay people. Everybody, you have the tool that you need to have this koinonia. But what are you going to do with it? I've never seen so much fear and felt the disconnect when it comes to just talking about the word. There's been a lot of koinonias. I don't think I've had one conversation with anybody in the Word of God since we've had one, because we don't go there. We don't mind talking about the grilled oysters. We don't go there. Let me tell you why. We're afraid. We're afraid because, you know what, most of the time it ends up in an argument. Because you see it your way, and I might see it my way, and we're just never going to have unity. So my question is this. What are we wasting our time for? What are we wasting our time for? Because we should have been way farther along than we are these many years later. As much as maybe you don't want to hear what's being said, I didn't want to say it. But I'm going to sleep good tonight. Amen. You have no idea how good I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm going to sleep real good tonight. Because I'm not going to be in walking disobedience against God when he's been as good as he's been to me. And when God give us this opportunity to put this on, I don't know if I said to the Lord, he said, listen, this is 1999. In 99, he said, this will be an oasis. He said, I'll send ministers from all across America and international to be there, and you'll minister to them this koinonia. I wonder what he wasted all his time for. Is that what he did? Or did we miss it? And can we at least admit that we weren't really hungry for real unity? And that's what's happening in most churches today. They're not hungry for unity. They want you to get on board with them. Because we may all need a lesson on what it really is. And to know what it really is, we got to be willing to go into it and look at it for ourselves and ask some dangerous questions that we may not have the answer for, but we're not so proudful that we can't admit that. Let's give some time and let's look at it together. Okay, brother, I'll get back with you. And we do that. Instead, we just talk to each other. See, here's the difference. I'm going to say everything that you see to each other, but I'm going to say it right here in front of you. Because I love you. And I'm not against you, but I'm for you. In the last 18 years, I dedicated my life to pursuing this ministry, this koinonia, because it means something to God. He's trying to get something to us, and if we don't get it, we miss it. So we're going to go on our merry little way, and we're going to go have whatever we have, what we believe is church, and when he returns, I want to know who's ready. Because koinonia also is interpreted as intercourse or intimacy. So the same intimacy you're having, and you're struggling, and you're weeping over saints, you're weeping over the word you're going to preach on Sunday, and you're wondering why they don't weep, why they can't get it. You got to teach koinonia. And it can only be produced by the set-apart spirit that empowers them, dunamis, explosive. It's not there, and then it's there. It's not a gradual thing. It's not gradual. You don't. I feel it coming on me. You know what we've done with the Spirit of God and these movements and all this stuff that goes on? It's a mockery today. Oh, I feel it. You feel it? Really? Folks barking like dogs and carrying on. That's nonsense.
Amen.
You feel it. It's not a gradual thing. It comes all at one time. You're empowered to be in unity because before you didn't know how to do it. You're empowered to love because before you didn't know how to do it. You get empowered to do these things by the set apart spirit. Once that happens, folks is believing the same thing. It's there. They see it. The vision's cast and people run with it because they see it as clear. So you're not looking for folks to help you. You get people in Koinonia, you're not going to lack anything. They had all things in common. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in it. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. So you get what I'm saying. When one prayed, they all prayed. What'd they pray for? I'm praying for my needs, you praying for yours. Wrong. Wrong. It's not you pray for yours, I pray for. There's no unity there. What's the need? Say the needs. Okay, well, we're praying for everybody's needs all together at one time. You ready? Go. Unity. Unity. Breaking bread. We know how to do that. We did that for all these years. We know how to break bread. But when is that happening? When you get amongst your people, when are you doing that? When you're spending and you're having a koinonia with them? Well, who's going to pay for it? See, that's the stop. Where are we going to get the money for all them meals? God's authored it, but he can't finance it. Isn't that amazing? And we're talking about faith. Let me see your hand, word of faith. Let me see your hand. Put it up high. You understand what I'm saying? But we don't believe God can fix it. We don't believe God can produce it. Yes, he can. And by the way, I'm just a guy on a peninsula. I fell off my boat and got into ministry. But one thing happened to me. And there have been a lot of errors in my life when I first started and even now. But one thing happened that changed my life forever. The Spirit of God, that set apart spirit, became so real to me. Amen. So real. And I have not gotten over it. I've not gotten over how real it is. And what he'll do in your life if we let him. Every time I lacked in my life is when I disconnected. I stepped back and I didn't let him have full control. How much does he want of you? All of you. If you want to see koinonia and all of the benefits it brings to the body, you know, you ever wondered why these folks were burned at the stake, crucified, bald and all? You ever wondered why they did that and still didn't go back? Because they were in koinonia. If you want to burn me, burn me. It doesn't matter. Man, you join us, you're going to get burned. They're going to talk about you. You're going to be in the cult. See, don't just think it. Don't just think it. The problem is we don't say. It'd been better for folks just to come and say, Pastor, what about this? Then think it. You swallow right there. Why am I saying this? Because I love you. And I would hate that you and I spent all these years together fishing and fellowshipping and enjoying all this, and we called it something, and we never learned a thing from it. God's intention, let me tell you his intention, that it would be born in you. You remember the vision? Some of you may not even remember it. But these are the things I don't forget. If I get a word, this brother was where I got a word one time. And he's heard it every time he's seen me. Because if I get a word from God, and I don't care who's the giver. It makes me no difference. I don't care who's the giver. That doesn't bother me. If he said, thus said the Lord, I'm listening. And then whatever he says, I'm going to check it out in the word. Everything he said, I found it here. That's good enough for me. Where do I start, Lord? Amen. And you pursue that word. You got to go to Jerusalem. If you don't go to Jerusalem, you can't get explosive power. So you take this vision, and I had this dream. This was back in 2004. That's early on. for Katrina. 2004, we were in this building. It was shaped different. It was faced that way. And we're walking around in here. But I had this dream about this baby. And I'm holding this baby. And some of you folks would come that were coming. I'd say, check this baby out. And I give the baby to them. And they check it, showing everybody. Look at the baby. Pastor Jesse gave this baby. And you give it to the next guy. This baby is a gorgeous baby. And then all of a sudden, I got the baby back in my hand. Lord said, that's your baby. But I wanted you to give it to everybody so they can hold that baby for a little while. All we were this whole time is a conduit. We were in the right geographic area for God to use the bait he needed to sow seed of koinonia. Because let me tell you, when the seed of koinonia is born in you, you've never seen unity like you've seen when it is explosive by the set apart spirit. You can't even explain it. You can't tell people in words what the explosive power does inside of them. We can only coach them along the way. But you can preach until your voice is gone. And if people don't get the set apart spirit, none of your preaching is going to help them. It's not going to help. I don't care how good we think we are. But it's the set apart spirit that word is received. And when it receives, it takes it to every fiber of their being and changes them. And so when you need some help, you get koinonia in your church. If you don't put people to work, they're going to go get work somewhere else. Because they're going to be ready to do whatever it is that needs to be done in the ministry. Because if you say it's for the kingdom of God, that where at? Show me kingdom. I'm ready. Kingdom. I'm ready. And it don't matter if they have Pastor David's kingdom. Kingdom, let's go. Don't matter what it costs. Let's go. If they, it doesn't matter where they are. Brother Wheaton, it doesn't matter where they are. They want to be in it. Because it was born in them by Holy Spirit. It was born in them. So we take Holy Spirit and we do some fancy tricks with it. Let me tell you, it's a mockery what's happened. And let me tell you why. Because you can't go back. Go back and call it Torah. It's okay. Everybody say Torah. It ain't a curse word. Trust me. But it's amazing that I was in church a long, long time and never heard a peep of that. Why? You know why? We took somebody's information. Some Romanized interpretation of what the Bible's supposed to be, and we bought it hook, line, and sinker. And then we taught the scripture from that platform. Is that what the master did? He said, listen to me, church. Listen, church. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. You're going to be endued with power from on high. He said, we're going to get this thing started. We better do it right. The master never said anything to his people before he left that he couldn't find in the Torah. Not anything. There it was. How many times he quoted it? You understand my point? We quote more people's books and teach more people's literature in our churches and our colleges than what the master said. Shame on us. They're just referencing. They're just giving a commentary. It's with their thoughts on what the master. I don't want to know what people's thoughts are about the master. I want to know what he said. I want firsthand information. And the way you get that, you go and look at everything he said. And everything he said, these are not my words, they're the words of the Father. I'm telling you, if you want to know what Dad wants, let me tell you, this is what he wants. This is what he wants for our life. It'll change us. So what we've done, we just kept doing the Romanized version of it, and we got where we got. And where we got is not pretty. And where we got is not going to be good. Remember, koinonia also means intimacy, intercourse. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know you not. That word know there. We never had koinonia. We never had koinonia, me and you. You didn't want to spend time with me where I can melt off all the nonsense out your mind and endue you with power from on high so you and I can have koinonia. You didn't want that. You wanted to teach it like grandma taught it, like grandpa taught it, like they taught it. And it doesn't matter. Look, grandma and grandpa were saved, and we ain't never going to deny what they had was right. But let me tell you something. To get through what you got to get through today, to get out of the disunity that we're in today, we better have some koinonia. We got to get back to where it all started. In that early church, they were serious about it. Here. So they were added to the church. They sold everything. They sold everything and just laid it at the apostles' feet. Do whatever you want with it. We in koinonia. We in unity. When's my turn? When they going to pay my bills? When somebody going to help me? That's what we got, a church full of folks saying that. You know why? Because pastors are saying it. Pastors believe in that. You don't need to believe that. Listen, they got rid of everything. And they gave it all at later the apostles' feet. Something happened. Why do people do that? You can't do that without koinonia. It takes koinonia to do that, because you ain't no way teaching that today. Not in today's church. You teach that, see ya. People shop churches like shopping in the mall nowadays. That's what they do. Where y'all going? We going to see. We're going over here and see. And they walk out, cross the road, and go to another one. They leave from there and go see somewhere else. You know why? Because people, they don't know what, there's nothing happening. You got to get koinonia. Well, it doesn't matter who's first. It doesn't matter. The need's going to get met. We're all going to pitch in and help. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, does it matter? Well, let me just tell you where the church is today. As they got going, Ananias and Sapphira said, well, we're joining the church too. Ain't no sense in us not joining. We joining. If they can sell everything and give it, we're going to sell everything and give it. I mean, we're giving everything. Ain't we giving everything? Yeah, we're giving everything. You sure we're giving everything? Sure we're giving everything. Man, I don't know. So, but let's try it. We're going to just try it. When koinonia gets real, you find all the Ananias and Sapphira. You just expose them right off the bat. When koinonia's got to be available for that to happen. But you know why it don't happen? Because everybody's Ananias and Sapphira. If he kills them, bye. Can you imagine? Oh, I never would do that. I would never hold back from who? Hold back from who? They lied to the set apart spirit, the dunamis, the one that creates koinonia. When you lie to that, you lie to anybody. You lie to your pastor, no matter how many years you served him. Serving the pastor is not having koinonia.
Amen.
You just learn how to be a good servant. That's all you did. You know how to say master. Well, we got to say master to the real master.
Amen.
The one that laid his life down for us. The high priest that forever makes intercession for us. The one that loved us so much that he laid his life down for us. He's the only way we can go to Jerusalem. The only way we can pursue the ministry. The only way we can be called in the ministry is because what he did. Yeah, we come in with, we got a list this long of how we want it. I decided instead of going into the itinerant, I've changed my mind. I'm going to be an evangelist of sorts. Of sorts. What is that? Well, I tried pastoring, but that's hard. Let me tell you, that's hard. I ain't doing that. I'm taking a break. I'm going to find out what the Lord wants for me. You know what that's a person doing? They're no koinonia, number one. Yep. You said, but I speak in tongues. Hoorah. Yeah. What does that mean? You like listening to yourself say what? Does it lift you up? But I feel something. Be careful what you feel. You'll be barking like a dog. You know what you do when you really get it? You obey. You obey.
Amen.
You say, yes, Lord. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter the sacrifice. You know what? True koinonia? True koinonia, they all sacrifice together. Everybody sacrifices together. They know what sacrifice is, and they know. Let me tell you, ministry, there's a sacrifice.
Amen.
It's a sacrifice. But when you got a koinonia, everybody sacrifices together. It makes it easier when everybody's in unity. It makes it easy when everybody's pulling in the same direction. But they withheld just trying to try it, and it don't work. And I'm just trying to figure out how many dead folks we have in the church that are in leadership. Because they in it, but they're really not in it. And it's just a matter of time. You kind of get this sense about it, but it's just a matter of time. And you wake up one day and they're gone. You want to change that? Well, God put you in a spot for a reason. Now, he could have used anybody. He could have. We just over here. He could have used anybody. But I believe God is amazing. He's incredible. He said, I got my eye on this little spot. It ain't much of a spot. But that's the spot I'm going to use. That spot right there. Little group of people. I'm going to get them in this. They're going to be endued with this power, this set-apart spirit, and I'm going to get them in it, and once I get them in it, then they'll be ready. And let me tell you, if you think our church stays in it, I'm glad a lot of them here, because they need to hear this just as bad as we all need to hear it. This is not our church preaching against you or trying to tell you need this. Listen, this is me giving you, I'm just talking to you. I said, Lord, well, I'm gonna do what I do. You know, I'm gonna make my slide show and I'm gonna lay the scripture out and I'm gonna just lay it out. But I'm talking to folks that know the scripture. You've been in and around this thing most of your life. You've been in this thing, plugged in it. But I'm convinced we observe the Passover when the scripture don't fit what we want. We just skip over it. What about read the whole thing and change? Because we failed when it comes to that. We just tagged along. That's what they're doing. You better be careful when you follow the ones that are the majority going that way in ministry, I'm talking about. Let me just give you this. Beware of the many. Beware of the many. God wants to take you right where you are and raise you up with koinonia. And that koinonia goes to the next person, to the next person. And when it comes to ministry, it'll all happen. Amen. There'll be no fight. It'll all flow because you'll have unity instead of disunity. I'm just wondering. If we were to take this right here and we sit, take some time and we open up our hearts to it and say, Lord, teach us. Because we all got our way. We all got this way. We kind of got a system. And we don't want to get out that system. We don't want to deny the education. How many know Paul denied his education? He had to. He had to deny his education. Because it didn't fit what the master said. The master said something and his education said something different. How many know by the time Paul was educated, they had added a whole list of books not statements, books to the Tanakh. He had to deny that. He said, I can't go with that. I once went with that. I once believed this, and I would die for what I believed. But I'm not going to do that no more, because the master didn't say that. The master said something different. The master, whatever he said, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm only encouraging you tonight to take the challenge and say, you know what? We need to do something about it. Because we give our lives to things, and we never even check them out one time. And if we did, it was halfway. The moment it crosses the line, we close it. Our search is over. We're not going to figure nothing out anymore. What about what the master said?
Amen.
What about that? What about understanding the words of Yeshua? Everything he said, what he said, does it matter? Does it matter? How many find yourself preaching more what Paul said than what the master said? And should we be careful in that? Should we be careful in preaching what Paul said over what the master said? I know this is one right here where you got to swallow and give me a little minute here. You know what Peter said? He said you have to be cautious when you read Paul. Because some things that the way he wrote was hard to understand. You ever wonder why Peter was at the back of the book when he was before Paul? Are y'all here? I'm going to ask that again. You ever wondered why Peter's writings are way back toward the end? And if we just read in the Bible, I'm going to ask you, who stepped out and gave the first message after the set-apart spirit got him to understand what Koinonia was and what happened? 3,000 souls were added. And it just kept happening after that. It kept happening. Paul didn't come till later. Yet we don't read anything else about Peter once we leave. We hit Romans, and there we go. There's a little mention, and then you got 1st and 2nd Peter. Wow. You ever read that? Have you ever read that? I mean, I thought I was in the wrong place just now. Read 1st and 2nd Peter? Not me. You've read it. You ought to go read it again. Just wondering why it's way over there. I like quiet. He said it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because once you understand what Peter said, you'll be cautious when you read Paul. Because he said, be careful. He didn't say it wasn't good. He didn't say it was wrong. He said, you just got to be careful, because if you start thinking in a certain way, you're going to keep thinking that way, and you'll misunderstand everything. Let me just tell you, because what Paul wrote was the facts. But we take it wrong, because we don't understand that Peter told us in advance, we better be careful. So Peter also gives some instructions to us. He instructs us. Paul instructs us. I love all these instructions. But before we do any of that, the master, what did he say? Wonderful words of the master. Why don't we take some time and just listen to what the master said? Wow. Change our life. So listen, you can go in Acts. You go down in Acts 2:35-36, all the way to 42. You see in this koinonia, this coming together, this unity. They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. All these things are wonderful. And in the third chapter, fourth chapter, you look at all these wonderful things. They're so powerful. And I want you to understand that, listen, I would hope that all these years that you've been around me, in and around me, that you would understand that I love the Lord with everything that's in me. And I could be wrong about things. It's just what it is. But I don't want to be. I honestly and sincerely look at the scripture and I look at the church and I say, God, if we don't wake up, we're in trouble. And I'm going to be responsible for the people I talk to, and you'll be responsible for the ones you talk to. And if you keep singing the same song everybody else is singing, you're going to stand before God for that, because you wouldn't change because you were afraid. Afraid to go back and look at it for yourself. For yourself. Now listen, it might have been different for me, but I was educated. I was educated as I grew up. My father didn't know how to read or write. My mother, you know, would struggle with not knowing these things. But I went to school, and they taught me how to read, barely. And then I was educated in the church. Went to church, full gospel church. Let me tell you, we had it. We were full gospel. We wanted people to know that if we're going to do the gospel, it's full. To the top. Running over. Full gospel. We believed if you wasn't in the full gospel, you was in another gospel. Just like folks believe today. If you ain't with me, man, we trying to get them off. You know, the word of faith, trying to get the Baptist saved. Been trying for years. Lord knows none of the Baptists, Brother Lawton. You ain't going nowhere. I figured I'd say it. Folks are thinking it. Might as well say it. Is that what God called us to? There's no unity there. And we know the Amish ain't none of them making it. In the Mennonite? You understand? You understand my point? Yeah. Why? Why does it have to be that way? What if every person here said, tonight is this is it. I'm going to take my Bible and the set apart spirit that's been given to me, and I'm going to learn something. You're going to, and so what's the worst you can do? Just encourage yourself in the Lord. Or you might come out of that with a bright light saying, why in the world have I been doing that? Because God never said to. But everybody else is doing it. Let me ask you, do you believe you're doing things just because everybody else is doing it? Or God told you to do it? Did he tell you? If he told you to do it, then don't change. But if you're doing it because it's just what I know, that's not good enough.
Amen.
It's not good enough.
Amen.
Take your Bible and read it for yourself. When I come out of full gospel, it was a heavy legalistic thing, you know. Women, our women and men had certain things they had to do. It was pretty tough. And so I'm going into ministry. So I go, whoa, I got to get a Bible. Get me a Bible. So I got my Bible and I go, all right, I got to read this. So I said, to a pastor, I said, where would I start? You know, oh man, just go to Matthew. Read in Matthew. Okay. So I was reading Matthew. And the whole time I'm reading, I said, this is good stuff. You know, this is real good. But what is all this for? This right here. What is it for? Why did he put it in there? Think about it. We need to know it. So I said, I'm going to start with Genesis. Started reading Genesis. I started finding out some things. This is early on. This is 30, going to be 32 years ago. Just a young fisherman. But what changed me is that set apart spirit. I was 13 years old in Mexico, of all places. I wasn't looking for it. I was just there. And that hand of God came and bow! And there she went. Now, I was empowered to do something, but I was unlearned. I had the power to do it, but no knowledge. No knowledge at all. So here I was, full of power, with no knowledge. And so I've been several years. And then I had to figure out, Lord, I got the power, but I don't know what I'm doing. Amen. I just don't know what I'm doing. But once I started reading and the power was there, it started opening up in my understanding. And then that my understanding opened up. And then that word, he says, your revelation levels will increase. Revelation levels will increase. You'll begin to preach like a man from another world. Your eyes will shoot fire. Wow. So all that, none of that made sense to me. I just knew the Lord said it. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. I'm thinking, Lord, you're telling me all this stuff? I'm in the church. I'm the pastor. I thought I was in the glory. I thought I seen all your glory. I'm like, what am I not doing? What am I missing? Lord, did you forget we do koinonia? Take all them preachers and we go fishing and we love on them. Yes, we were loving on you. We heard you say it 1,000 times up here.
It's true.
We can't put no testimony in your mouth.
That's right.
Either it happened or it didn't.
That's right.
We were walking in the right spirit or we didn't.
Right.
You got to say it and be honest and be truthful. We either did that or we didn't. But if we did, and so you say, then we're trying to figure out. Like Gideon, he's over there, and the Lord said, I'm with you. He said, Lord, if you're with me, where are all the miracles we talking about? I want them, because I'm feeling a little lonely right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to get out of this. I'm in trouble. If you with us, where's the power? And God got them in unity. He said, you got some folks, they're afraid. You say, we're going to build this building. They got the afraid folks. Well, I don't, you know, hey. We don't want to get in no financial trouble. And they're afraid. Send them home. They're not going to help you. Folks, you've been trying to keep folks that God has dismissed a long time ago, and you still want them. And it don't mean they can't go somewhere else because God loves everybody. But they ain't going to work where you at. And the reason is God's going to take a group. It might be small. And they're going to have koinonia. And when that happens, those same folk, you know what you would do? You would welcome them back with loving arms, weeping and tears. You'd welcome and you wouldn't mention a single thing about the travesties and the hardships that was before because you're in koinonia. And you don't have to be even or get even.
Amen.
When you're in koinonia. You don't have to have that.
Amen.
You're just going to love. No matter what, you're going to love. Because let me tell you, you ain't never met a group of hurt folk more in your life than when you stand before ministers. Them folk been hurt more. But somebody own hurt, somebody others hurts. Nonetheless, there's pain in it. But let me tell you about pain. Yeshua. He said, I got something, and I'm going to give everything I got because I see a need. I see a whole world, the whole world, every one of them. They're dying, and they're going to lose out. But in me, I have a life. So I'm going to give my life for all of them to live, and I'm going to take death. And he gave, because he knew what Koinonia was about. He said, I'm going to give so they can have. How many ready to do that? Let me tell you, when folks come, are they coming to see what the church can do for them? Well, you know, I'm going to check this church out. I want to see what they got for me. What about if someone comes and says, I want to go because the Lord called me here, and I'm going to go and have Koinonia with my brothers and sisters because we're going to take this. Because whatever the vision is, they're going with the vision. They're going to go wide open with you. You're not looking for folks to do anything when you have Koinonia. It gets done. And I was talking, and I tell her, our church goes through moments of this. I mean, you witnessed it with your own eyes. I'm one person. I've handled some of the things for Koinonia, but I don't do everything, and nor can I think if it's getting done. Now, I'm going to ask the church, this is the fire church, to answer, okay? Ready? How many meetings we had about Koinonia this year? Why do we need one? We had one the first time. The first time we had a meeting, ain't no sense in having one. We're not giving details out. We don't need a meet. We don't need to have a program where you're meeting and we assign. And if you're in Koinonia, that's what needs to be done. Let's get it done.
Amen.
Me, we need a, this needs to, it's got to be empowered in our churches. And for it to get empowered in our churches, the pastor's got to be willing to open his mouth up and say what the word says. But God is not going to let you half preach this and then give the power you need to have Koinonia. Won't happen.
Come on.
You can try it. Keep trying it. Won't happen. Open up the Bible and look at it for what God's direction is. Don't be afraid of it. When somebody says Torah, don't say, ooh, they're going back. They're going back. They're going back. This is, should be common language in amongst God's people. Did you call it that or did he call it that? Did you come up with that term or did he come up with that term? Let me see your hand if you was at Mount Sinai. No hands? You wasn't at Mount Sinai. You mean to tell me as much preaching as we got in here, you wasn't at Mount Sinai? When he turned a mountain on fire and he spoke, thou shall have no other gods before me. We wasn't there. But there were some folks there. You know what they said? Say no more, because everything you say, we will do. And isn't that what we say? I'm serving God now, Lord, whatever you want for my life, Lord. You know, we have these moments in worship. We got the band. We got the lights. They got smoke and everything. Now it's fun. I mean, it's fun. Going to worship is fun. You know, why don't we let God bring the band? Why don't we let God bring the lights? Why don't we let God bring the smoke? Because that's what he did at Mount Sinai.
Amen.
He brought the band. He brought the lights. He brought the smoke. He brought everything. You know what happened? Whatever you say, we're going to do. Now, they were hard pressed to do that. But he showed us in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when Shavuot had arrived, they were already taking part in that. That's Shavuot. They was practicing that. They were remembering as a memorial. They knew that they had to do these things. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. And that set apart spirit entered in and changed people's life. Changed their life for Koinonia. Because that's what they did after that. They did Koinonia, constantly did Koinonia. And the church grew. Amidst being persecuted, they grew. You know, we get a little hump in the road, and we don't even know if we want a pastor no more. I'm just so tired. I don't know what to do.
You know, nobody's invited me to their church no more. You know, I went one time, they mustn't like me. They don't like they like the way Brother Marcel preached, but they don't like the way I preach. He goes everywhere, I don't go nowhere. You say, that don't really happen. Oh, yeah, it does. They're just not saying it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you. It happens. They ought to be wonderfully praying and covering their ministry constantly because we're in Koinonia. We're for them, not against them. We don't want what God put on his life. We want what God got on our life. You're so busy trying to get somebody else's anointing, you can't even stand still enough for God to get it on you. We're chasing things. But we got clear direction. Why chase anything? Stay. Go. Stop. Do this. Don't do that. But we don't want to do that. You know, teshuvah is right now. We should be repenting and obeying. Remember what John said? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And they're saying, well, we're doing these things. You know, we're. He said, why don't I see fruit to repentance then? If you're doing it, where's the fruit of repentance? Because repentance with no fruit is no repentance at all. There's no fruit there. And we need this in our life. We need it badly. So I think I said enough. I told the Lord, I said, look, I don't have no notes. I'm going to get up there and talk. If you don't tell me, I won't say it. When you're done, I'll quit. He's done.
Amen. Amen.
So here, listen to me. So Koinonia, we're going to take a break. Why are we taking a break? Because the Lord told me.
Amen.
Listen, let me just tell you about Koinonia.
Amen.
Whatever, everything we do, let me talk about me. I got to talk about me because I can't talk for other people. Because I don't know their thoughts are their thoughts. I know my thoughts. My wife, me and my wife sometimes disagree about these things. But if the Lord tells me something, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. My wife knows that. It's what it is. It don't matter if it costs me everything. That's what it is. Mm. And it's cost me everything a few times. A few times, and when I say everything, I'm literally meaning everything. But it's what he said. But be patient. But I don't notice something about God. When you do it, he just speeds it up and gives it back to you a bunch of times over and over. Just does it. You go, when? Where did that come from? That's God. That's what he does. Now listen. So we have property. That property down there is my property. And I kept that property all these years, even after we closed the business, for one purpose, for Koinonia. It costs to keep that property. It don't matter about the cost. Remember, if God authored it, he funds it. Why does it matter what pocket it comes out of? You understand? See, but to us, it matters. We go to event, we checking on the money. We want to make sure the money got to be there. It's got to be right. But why does that matter? Why does it matter? Think about that. You know why there's no offering? We have these two services every Koinonia. How many offering places passed in front of you? There's a reason for that. My job was never to ask you for that. You do whatever God's telling you to do. Listen, if you can't listen to God, there ain't no sense in me wooing you. You don't need me to woo you. You need the set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, to woo you. You got to be wooed by him. I don't need to be wooing you because you do it because I have, because you like me. I think now, not so much now. But listen, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how much you like me because I love you. I love you and I'm going to tell you everything God tells me to tell you regardless, and I'm going to do it in love. It may be hurtful, but I'm going to do it in love. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Anybody at any time that's sitting here, if you ever want to talk to me about this, it's okay. It really is. You're really not going to upset me. Really. But we're not crazy.
And I haven't lost my mind. But I know one thing. When the Spirit of God moves on my heart, I know it when it's the Spirit of God. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. But that property, the Lord said, don't sell it. Because I'm selling. Don't you sell it until I tell you. And that's with everything we own. Everything. Did I tell you to do that? Did I tell you to put a sign on that and take it off? Since when that's yours? Think about that. Is that what you're doing when you're serving God? Is it everything that you own His? Because see, just because they sold everything and laid at the apostles' feet, we think we don't have to do that? You're kidding yourself. Everything you own, that you pay the notes on, is His. Amen. And if you haven't given it, you have no idea what unity is. You have no idea what love, and you definitely don't know what koinonia is. That's why you're still struggling to pay for it. You're still struggling to try to keep it because you're doing it. You're just like the Tower of Babel. They were going to build their city. Their city was going to get built their way. And they could. You could do it. Don't mean you can't have success. But it won't be God's success. And you'll be told, I never knew you. We had no koinonia. Well, I'll never hear that. I'm the preacher. But that's scary things when you think about it. You're not going to be able to put your preacher card out on God. It's not going to work. We're going to have to be serious about our relationship. And this is what koinonia was all about. God used this wonderful place. I love this place. That's why when it was destroyed, like a bomb went off, we come back and we worked hard. It was some of the most difficult times of my life. Some of the times when I wanted to just run fast as I could and just get out of here. Not to mention how difficult it was for my wife. Very difficult. My children. But God told me, He said, position's everything. You don't give position up for nothing and for no reason. I was standing right back this building up on that levee with a big gaping hole in it. And He said, did you hear me? Position's everything. You get out of position with me, you'll lose the ladder in your life. If you want me in your life, you stay where I put you. I'll put a ladder in your life. I'll have angels ascending and descending. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation? Are they not? Amen. They're working on our behalf, working for us. But you got to commit to the Lord for koinonia. Every ministry here, you got to experience koinonia. If you're having any difficulty, no koinonia. We have that here. There's ups and downs. You got to be sold out. You can tell when you got a guy who's got koinonia because you say, man, I forgot. The grass needs to be cut. And you get in your car and you go on to church fast you can. You get there and the grass is cut. That's koinonia. Because they done bought into the whole thing. They're not in it halfway. They bought into the whole thing. They know that needs to happen. They know what needs to work. They know that. And that's what needs to happen for all of us today. So let's all stand. We're going to stand. Now here's opportunity. This is an opportunity time. We have opportunity. That opportunity is to do what God wants you to do. What He's telling you. It might be you standing there and you're saying, you just say to the Lord, Lord, I got to get this. I need this alive in me. I really need it alive in me. I want it so alive in me, Lord, that I feel it every moment of the day. I taste it. I see it. I smell it. I want your word alive in me. He wants to do that for you. It'll change everything about you. It'll bring us closer. So the opportunity we have right now, we yield ourselves to him and him only and say, Lord, what I want is what you want. You know what it does? Where those difficulties were, where the impossibility seems to be, all of a sudden you get a phone call. And there's a miracle waiting around every turn because koinonia has set in and there's life that are being changed. Things are happening. That's what happens when we yield to him. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask us, number one, we ought to repent. We ought to say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry that I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the pleasures of it. But I really didn't yield to the message of it. And I want to. And I want to yield to the message of it. I want to see it the way you intended it to be. And I can tell you, I'm going to admit to you, there were times in my life, at some points I was like, Lord, what are we doing this for? But I ain't allowed to quit it because I don't like it. That has nothing to do with it. I'm not allowed to be the one that works the time clock. I just got to do what God says. So the break is we're waiting on the Lord to say whatever it is. And we got a whole year to hear him.
Amen.
The whole year. Amen. You're not listening to see when I'm going to go fishing next. You're going to say, Lord, what am I doing with this koinonia? What did I do with it? What have I done? Where have I applied it? Where have I let your spirit birth this thing in me that it changed my life forever? That I can show unity. Instead of disunity, the love like never before. When can I do that? That's what's going to happen. So we're gonna just pray. You're going to pray. And as we're praying together, we're going to ask God to forgive us and to enlighten us to his word. To go back and look at his word for ourselves. Whatever you tell God, you'll be accountable for. That's up to you. You don't need to be accountable to me. We all need to be accountable to God. When we tell him, we're going to do it. We're going to yield to him. So we're going to ask him that his grace would be extended to us, that he would share with us the next step that we're going to take for this power. Because listen, if we quit doing koinonia here, koinonia don't go away because it's the word of God. It's what the early church lived on. We were just implementing what the early church did. It's how they survived. It's the only way they survived. Yet we survive so many different ways today to the tune of getting ourselves in so much debt that we don't know how to get out of it. That's how we survive. God's trying to show us there's another way, his way, simply written in the scripture. Back to Acts. Isn't that amazing? Back to Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Those alone are to challenge our life. That's what he does. Father, we thank you today. We're very grateful that you've taken some time to speak to our hearts. Mm-hmm. You're so amazing.
Yes, Father.
And patient. Mm. You're so patient with us.
Thank you, Father.
We ask you today, right now,
yes,
that you would forgive us, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
For any time that we've taken in any way, in the smallest way,
yes,
this ministry of koinonia in the wrong way. God, we shouldn't have done it, but we did it. We did it. There's times I've done it, Lord. I thought wrong about it, and I shouldn't have. So we're asking you, Lord, as we take this time, Lord, that there'll be a rebirthing, a rekindling of this thing. God, you warned us You warned us. We didn't heed the warning, not like we should have. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We thank you for your forgiveness. And now we want to obey. We want to show you, Lord, that we mean it. And we want to do something towards showing you, Lord, that this koinonia means a lot. This means so much to your kingdom. We got to have unity in the body. We got to, because it's the foundation, it's the bedrock of what's happening. Lord, what you called us to. Every one of these folks in here, you've called us, Lord, into your kingdom to do your work. We want to be empowered by the Ruach HaKodesh. That set apart spirit comes on us and changes us, empowers us to do what you called us to do. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Every person that's in this room today, I pray, Lord, that as we join our hearts, we link our hearts and our minds together toward koinonia, Lord, that you would bring about change in our life. Lord, we wait for the day, God, that we'll hear the great testimonies of what koinonia has done in the lives of your people that are here today. We thank you for it. We honor you. We give you all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. And amen. I want to thank God for it before we leave. I know I'm talking to a lot of people here. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to say if there's something that you disagreed with, that didn't set right with you, we'd like you to say it now. And we'd love to get with you and be able to talk about that. Is there anybody? I want to say that I appreciate you for listening to me. My prayer is that you didn't do it because we just host this thing. It has nothing to do with it. My prayer is that you listen because it's the Word of God. We were given direction by the Lord today to bring about change in our life. And when change happens in us, it's going to happen in a lot of people. And after all, that's what our heart is. Our hearts are for people. We want to help them along the way. You love people. That's why you do what you do all the time. So as we share, we got one more day. If you're staying, we sure hope you are. We got 100 gallons of gumbo. Somebody got to eat. So we're glad you're here. And so we're going to be, let me give you some announcements now, okay? 5:45 breakfast.